You're listening to the Self-Publishing Answers Podcast. It's not the only podcast out there for writers, but it is the only podcast that will help you sell your book. Have a question to ask about writing, self-publishing, or marketing? Just ask. Call 978-48-ASK-ME. And now your hosts, Nick Thacker and Kevin Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kevin Tomlinson. I'm sitting here with Justin Sloan and Nick Thacker. We're your hosts. Thanks for joining us. And today, we're going to talk about something kind of cool. This has bounced around. Actually, when I first started, this was a big question for me, too. So we're going to talk about where to focus when you're still writing your first book. And I know there's a lot of opinions about that. Justin, you had some stuff you were actually bringing up right at the beginning. You want to kind of roll into it, or... is there a better way we can set this up? I probably just muffed the whole thing.
I think that was a great intro.
I'll roll into it.
Best I've ever heard. But I do think there's a little bit of housekeeping that we probably should take care of.
We need housekeeping?
Yeah, a little bit of spring cleaning, let's do it. Maybe. A little fall cleaning. It is pumpkin spice latte season, everyone.
It is. So that's it's pumpkin spice freaking everything season is what it is.
I like saw call it pumpkin spice lays.
What?
Yeah, all the girls dressed as Han Solo. This season, so
it's the vests.
It's the vests and those like giant boots and the jeans tucked into them, and it's everything, man. I'm telling you, it's nice. Han Solo's out get up, like the whole shebang.
They're just all walking around shooting first.
That's right. True that. There's a couple things we don't have to do, but Justin, you mentioned kind of starting out each episode with something that's cool, something that we're maybe not cool, or something we're thinking about. I think that might be kind of a cool way to jump into it.
However, both going down this rabbit hole or this chain that just doesn't lead to the right place. But I would say there's a lot of value to having partners, because you can, you know, get twice the research done, twice the reading on craft, twice have all these great discussions. When you're at a low point, like Nick was saying, then you can chat about it with each other and get out of that low point.
Yeah,
I would say definitely try to find partners as early as you can. And that it kind of ties into like the idea of podcasting. And I don't know if somebody's doing it. If not, some of our listeners should definitely do this. Start a podcast with each other where you're both starting your first book or something, and, you know, talk about through the process as you're going and like all the downs, and share everything, you know. Don't be afraid to be like, man, this week sucks. I can't think of anything. I'm at whatever. And what'd be really cool is if you tied that in with us. And then whenever you're having those moments, you call us and say, hey, can you be a guest on our podcast and advise us on what we should do, or yeah, something like that. Yeah. Just throwing ideas out there.
Or you can always call 978-48-ASK-ME and ask us questions that we can answer about whatever dilemmas you have. I will say this. You know, Nick and I, we joke all the time, and we give each other a hard time sometimes. But I think a lot of what I've managed to pull off in the past year or so has been directly because of the partnership that Nick and I developed. And the writing that we've done together. And even though we're individually still creating our own work, it's been invaluable to have Nick, you know, someone I can bounce ideas off of, someone I can gripe to, you know. And so even if you're not collaborating directly on a piece of work, I agree with Justin. I mean, go out and find someone, even if they're at the same level as you are. You can grow together, but make a commitment to grow together. Don't just say, you know, we don't want mutual masturbation here, you know. Go off and together find people who are good sources of information and can be good mentors, and then share that with each other and bounce ideas off each other and grow. And share your work with each other and critique it and be honest with each other. I mean, don't just, you know, stroke each other's egos.
Well, yeah, I'm with you, man. I was going to say to Justin, too, that I do believe there's a little bit of danger in that early on. You know, I didn't know myself as a writer. Kevin came along and he's been writing forever. And so he's a little bit safer in that. But I didn't know who I was as a writer. And like you mentioned before, I didn't know if I wanted to write another book. Actually, I'd never planned on writing more than one. I did this as sort of a one-off project. And I just fell in love with the whole process. So I think it is – I would never go back to not having a Kevin or a Justin or like, you know, you guys to be able to bounce stuff off of and interact with at a different level. But Kevin and I have talked about this numerous times, and this might be the reason I'm a little hesitant to do a whole show on how to find a writing partner. I don't know how to find a writing partner. Kevin and I just sort of, you know, the stars aligned, the universe, whatever you want to call it, a God thing, you know, and we ended up having the same sense of humor, and we worked together really well. But when we started out, there was this like long, maybe I say long, it felt like it was a long period of time where he and I were kind of afraid to say no to each other on writing stuff. Oh yeah, that's a great idea, man. Oh, that's so cool. Adam should totally go into this, you know, like right. When that was probably a terrible idea. And we were afraid to tell each other that. Now, I'm pretty sure it was just a one-way thing. Kevin didn't have any bad ideas, but mine were all terrible, and he let me go through with all of them. So I think, yes, it is 100% a good idea to have a great writing partner. The problem is I have no idea how to find or develop or whatever, nurture a great writing relationship with someone else like that. I think it can be a dangerous thing if you're just, like you said, stroking each other's ego. And I don't think it's going to be because you're both sitting there just sucking up to each other. I think it's going to be because you don't know you're doing it. You know, you don't
yeah,
know
okay,
you're
saying
yes to someone, right? You don't know you're approving right. of everything they do.
You don't want to offend them or whatever.
Right. And okay, I agree with that. I think, and I guess what I mean, where I think it's probably okay is I like the idea of go off and get into groups and start talking to people and start finding like minds and just sharing your work with each other. And I think a partnership like that could eventually just evolve as you yeah. as the two of you
Absolutely.
Discover we have similar senses of humor or we like the same authors or, you know, whatever. And it's just like anything else. I mean, it's all about what you're willing to give, not what you're willing to take. So if you go into a writer's group, for example, with the idea of I want everyone to read my book and give me feedback and make me an awesome author, but you're not willing to give that in return, you know, you're not going to have a successful experience there. And when you're collaborating with someone else, it's the same idea. You want to find someone that needs you as much as you need them, and you fill a gap for each other. And I think you're not necessarily writing together. I think mostly when I think about collaboration these days, I'm mostly thinking in terms of having someone you can turn to just hear you out and offer some advice, even if they may not know much more than you do. Just someone you can turn to when you need a kick in the butt or whatever. Someone who keeps you accountable, I guess, is what I think of.
Yeah,
and you can find people online.
Sorry, Justin. Just real quick, my dead simple hack for this is find somebody that has the same sense of humor as you. Easier said than done, but if you notice that you're getting along really well with somebody in your critique group or writer group, seek that out a little bit more. Go get coffee with them and see how that develops. I have kind of reflected on this through talking to Kevin and finding out that we're a kindred spirit, you know, from 1,000 miles away, and other people that I work with professionally, and just have noticed that the people that I am able to work best with in any instance are the people who I have a same sense of humor or similar sense of humor as. I don't know why. That's just the way it is for me. So give that a shot.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of partners over the years and in both screenwriting and, of course, video game writing because it's all collaborative, but also in novel writing. And, yeah, there's all kind of experiences there. And I think some of it's trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say you can find people online, you know, in different groups, or you can try like meetup.com and go to these different critique groups. You can start your own.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those and you have varied experiences. I would definitely advise the early authors to, you know, it's a great thing to surround yourself with people. Some of them are going to be more knowledgeable than you.
Yeah.
But there's always a problem, even when you're experienced with a group think and, you know, group advice on your story. But my word of caution, you guys probably have a lot too, is like, you know, to proceed with caution, you know, look up everything yourself. Don't take all their advice as like, this is how it has to be. If they say this is a rule within when it comes to writing, you know, really take that with some salt and go look up your own opinions on it, because there are no rules, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are what people expect nowadays and what people tend to like, but that still doesn't mean it's a rule necessarily. Any thoughts on that?
No,
writing groups, critique groups.
I agree with that. I agree. I had trouble finding writing groups, and I had trouble finding critique groups that really worked, because my experience was everyone there was there to get everyone to read their work, but not necessarily read everyone else's.
Right.
And it's tough too, because you've got, you know, 20 people in a room, everyone's got their manuscript, you know, no one can read all of them. At any given time, But I think I've had the most luck in joining some of these groups, like on Google Plus, and you know, there are Facebook groups and that sort of thing. I think if you start hopping into conversations in those, rather than, you know, joining like a critique group, I think it's better to get into a conversation on a specific topic, and then you'll start meeting people who, you know, you kind of gel with, and then you can start kind of pushing things out there like, hey, I really need someone to read this. Is anyone willing? Or, hey, you know, you and I are talking a lot on Facebook. Would you like to swap books and critique each other or whatever? I mean, I think you can build relationships like that organically.
Yeah, and I think the key, too, is not to be precious with anything. You know, when you – me, I'm working with somebody right now, and we chatted. He met me through a podcast I'd been on and emailed me, and I looked him up, and I was like, oh, that guy's cool. We've done some stuff similar to each other.
It's me.
And No, but it's somebody you know, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just we throw ideas out there, and we decided to go with one, and you have to think, like, if it doesn't work out, that's okay. You can go off and, you know, do your own thing. You guys don't have to, you're not married, you don't have kids.
Yeah.
It's just a story. It's just an idea, and idea is all about execution. So, you know, you work out a contract, but oftentimes, like, if your idea is, you know, we need to make a story about bunny rabbits that kill Santa Claus, you know, there's a million ways to write that and just talk with each other about, like, hey, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to go write my version. You can go write your version, whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's great to have an exit strategy. But I want to just really touch on something Justin brought up that I think he's glossing over. Don't marry and have kids with your writing partner. Probably just a bad idea.
All right. I guess I'm taking the ring back.
Yeah. There are some screenwriting couples who have done really well with that, where they're writing, you know, together, and they're
absolutely.
I cannot imagine.
Totally, yeah.
But my wife and I,
oh my gosh. Yeah, there's no way.
My wife and I have talked about you know, we've talked about collaborating on something, and she has a great idea, a brilliant idea. And she actually is very good at ideas. The problem is she wants it done exactly the way she wants it done. And there's no leeway for me to be creative in it. And I just don't want those fights. So, yeah, mine, I think it's best to avoid that.
Mine would be like a Die Hard franchise with a little bit of Armageddon and Transformers, all done in the style of Disney.
Let's do it. I will write that with you.
Let's do it, man. All right. Let's do it.
Disney Gone Wild. Disney Gone Wild. Okay. I think something was just born on the podcast.
You hear it here first.
So,
machine helicopter.
Under the just to kind of bring things back around. So the topic really is, what should people focus on? And I think we hit some pretty big ones. But I think also in terms of just the writing itself, I mean, focus on sharpening your knowledge and ability with the craft. And there are a lot of books that can help you do that, and a lot of podcasts and a lot of YouTube. I was going to call it TV shows, but no one watches TV anymore, right?
Yeah, it's not TV or anything.
What are some books you guys would recommend to people for improving the craft?
Wait, people do that?
People do that. I'm going to recommend one. I'm going to recommend a little book that I read recently called Creative Writing Career by some schmuck named Justin Sloan. Actually, Justin, man, that is actually a really good book. I don't, there is a message about craft in there. But I think just in terms of, you know, helping with mindset and kind of making you think through a few things that you probably didn't think through when you decided you wanted to be an author, there's a lot of great information in that book. So I recommend that. I recommend it all the time to people.
I appreciate it. And book two is coming out before the end of October for sure. And
which I'm currently reading. I'm going to give you a review on that as soon as I'm done with it.
Yeah, no, I got to ask you. Oh, there's some weird I got to ask you some really questions later today. Remind me. But no, books, there's a lot of great ones, of course. And then it's funny because me and some writing partners have argued about which style books are the best, you know, like structure books, like The Hero's Journey versus all these other ones that people are putting out. And I think some of those are great. And they're all, you know, they're good for putting your head around what story is or what some people expect story to be. But once again, don't think of them as rules. Think of them as, you know, how you can kind of think about where the emotional beats should land and all that. My favorites have been, there's this book called Self-Editing for Fiction Writers. Love it because it just went over all the stuff. Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And then you read that and you're like, oh, yeah, of course I need to know that thing. And then there's another one that I really love that you guys might not know called How Fiction Works by James Wood.
Oh, I do
think
like
it
that.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. James so good. Wood. And it talks about third person, what do they call it? Indirect, close, something about indirect style. And it's so great, like talking about how you use third person, but you use the narrative to kind of get into the person's head. So it's like, you know, in close, but yeah, POV type stuff, point of view.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend that one.
Yeah, that's, I read that forever ago. I need to go back and read, I need to look at that again. That was really intense, actually. I mean, it was one of those, like, you read it and then you immediately reread it because there's a ton of stuff that you just vaguely remember and you want to memorize.
Yeah, it's a smart book for sure.
It is.
Like his example, like Madame Bovary or something, you know, it's not, it's
yes.
not for the simple thing.
Yeah, it takes brain power. Nick, I know you have some books that you would recommend.
I do. Yeah, you guys probably know me. I'm a planner through and through. And so there's been quite a few books that I've read that are just really, really good about how to frame the idea of planning a book in your mind. It's a big project. And as much as I am a planner, I too, believe it or not, get bogged down in the details if I have too much of a plan in front of me. And so for me, the balance has always been, how do I write an outline that's not going to take away all of the freedom and sap up and suck up all the creative juices available to me? And the answer has been, you know, it's somewhere in between. And so I've studied this since I've started writing. Actually, that's not true. I wrote The Golden Crystal halfway and then decided to start studying writing a little bit and because I needed to. I just got stuck in the muddy middle, as they say. And strangely enough, the first book that I ever picked up about it is still the one that I always go to, meaning I lucked out. I didn't have to, you know, wade through a ton of these outline type books in order to find a good one. I started with one that is still my number one favorite, and that's Techniques of the Selling Writer by Dwight Swain. Rest in peace. And he has this just really snappy, he was a pulp writer, you know, so he wrote this pulp fiction stuff back in the day, and just really, he writes nonfiction the same way. It's real snappy, short sentences, to the point, no fluff, no frills. It's all just here, 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 here. And you're just going, it's a machine gun. And you're just going through it like, oh my gosh, I got it. Like I think every line in that book is probably highlighted now, which defeats the purpose, of course. But that's what it is to me. And then the second one is sort of I wouldn't say the antithesis of it in style, but it might be that in scope. It just focuses on one particular thing, and that's building a really fast outline, like basically fast outlining. And Kevin, I know you like this one too. It's Libby Hawker's book, Take Off Your Pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not pornographic. It just means, you know, the opposite of a plotter is a pantser. So she's saying take off your pants and plot your
and
novel.
And plot.
That's a pretty new one. And so again, I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to, because there's an outlining book from every author who's had success with Facebook ads and a BookBub campaign. Like they're like, well, this is how I did it. Never mind that I had a successful BookBub campaign and my book ended up shooting up the charts. This is the way to do it. This is the way to write a book. And I won't name any names, but there's a lot of that stuff out there. It's sort of the new Kindle gold rush thing for authors focusing on other authors.
Yeah,
and Libby's is not that. Libby's
me
is
off,
good.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get so mad about that stuff.
I missed everything everybody just said. Oh. Well, what did you say?
I think we're just both agreeing that stuff pisses us off. Yeah. Like we're so like, there's one that a lot of people I know love, and I can't get through it because the beginning of the book starts off, there are no other good style guides for novel writers, and I'm like, what the. Come
okay.
on.
What is it? What is the book? What is it?
Yep. Gotta say it. Now.
I'll say it off air. I don't.
Oh man.
My partner loves it.
Is it mine? Is it,
yeah.
Did I write a book like that? I don't even remember which ones I've written.
It was you.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Is that one of mine? You know, I don't have a book on outlining, and probably with good reason, because it's difficult enough for me to even do outlining. But they're. Take Off Your Pants was actually good. I have to admit. I mean, it made a very good case for why you should. Outline, and it had me really at Take Off Your Pants. I mean, honestly, exactly. I was going to read it no matter what. But it actually does make it makes a very good case for it, and it breaks down bit by bit. And it's worth reading, definitely. You should
but
check
it's not
it out.
Overwhelming.
It
written, you know, Dwight by Swain.
Blink-182 guys.
Yeah. What was the take off your pants? What was U2, right? No.
Well, I don't know. Blink-182 had Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
I'm sorry, that's what it was. Yeah, I was like, why does it sound like? Yeah, it is. It's Blink-182 that was Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. Album. Was their album?
Name. Yeah, that's what. Was Blink-182 though? Was that who did that?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Or it was Boxcar Racer.
He's not editing us today.
Yeah, you're right. No, it was Blink 182.
Yeah, I was huge into them in high school.
I was not.
Still, so, man, those guys are awesome.
Whatever.
So, anyway, yeah, I think the best part about Techniques of the Selling Writer is if you're into plotting, it's going to give you everything. It gets more and more granular until it starts going into how to actually write a sentence. It's got this reaction. Oh my gosh, I've already forgotten it. I need to read it again. Yeah, so it goes into how to build a sentence and then how to build, a paragraph and do dialogue and all that. But he just tells you. He's not like, try this. He's saying, do this, and it's going to sell. So it's just really to the point, straightforward. I love that one. And then Libby Hawker's is sort of the opposite. It's going into, hey, here's why you should just have a basic outline because it's going to help you write a lot faster. And now don't freak out. This outline is just, less than a page long, and it just basically gives you the major beats of the story. So I love that. I think both of those approaches are really good, and they've both helped me at different times.
Well, one last thing that writers should focus on is the ending. And to that point, I think it's time for us to wrap up the podcast because we've been going for 54 minutes so far. So
fair assessment.
If you're out there and you have questions about what you should focus on first, you should definitely focus on picking up your phone and dialing 978-48. Ask me to ask me, Justin, or Nick, in any order you wish, any question you like about the craft or the process or anything else relating to self-publishing. Anyone else want to throw anything else in there before we wrap up?
Justin, I promise we'll get Fiverr to do another intro that includes your name.
Should we guess? Right. We have not actually officially announced yet that we are literally officially bringing Justin into the show. So
we officially decided that we're bringing him into the show. I apologize if we haven't.
I don't know. Nick and I will talk after.
Yeah, you guys can chat about me. I think it just every episode just start with a drum roll and then say, and special guest starring Justin Sloan, something like that.
Done. So surprise everybody.
Talked us into it.
So there we go. And that's been this week's Self-Publishing Answers podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I think Nick and Justin both joined me in saying, we're really glad you're here because otherwise it's just three guys talking to each other randomly, one of whom is in a closet.
Yeah, we would still do this if that was the case.
We would. We totally would. All right. That wraps us up. We'll see everybody next week.
See you later. Cool.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Publishing Answers podcast. For more information and to sign up for regular updates, visit www.writehacks.com. Want to ask Nick or Kevin about the world of self-publishing? Just ask. Call 978-48-ASK-ME and leave a message.